And you are listening to Studio 2 on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Avi Wolf-Manarin.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. And Avi, today is Wawa Day.
It's Wawa Day.
Yes, and I'm sipping my free coffee from Wawa.
Were you paid for this endorsement?
No, but I love anytime I get something free, it sort of like puts me in a really good mood.
Yeah. And Wawa is actually the king of that. They got the hoagie day, they got the coffee day,
yeah,
they got
that thing on. We did Slurpee day at a 7-Eleven last summer, like
true.
One summer.
That's true.
So anytime you get something
haven't
free,
had a Slurpee
it's
since,
pretty
by
cool because you got to go when it's free. But today, today they're going to be celebrating, I guess, in 2025, 61 years since the company opened its very first store in Folsom, Delaware County.
Folsom, yeah.
Pennsylvania, right, which is in Delaware County, our neighbor here. So about 1.5 million people get their free coffee today. So there you go.
Shout out to Wawa.
But since we're in good vibes, we figure we keep that going by playing some of our favorite Studio 2 extras.
Cherry,
today.
What's the Studio 2 extra?
Yeah. For folks who may not know that we have this going on, every Friday, we post to the Studio 2 podcast feed a one-on-one interview that maybe Avi and I will do with someone who's of note from our region. You know, you can think local artists, musicians, athletes, thinkers, people who have connections to the greater Philadelphia area, including Jersey and Delaware. And we sit down with them, and it's usually a fun interview. They're usually pretty brief. And it's a nice little pick-me-up at the end of the week.
Totally.
We also play it on All Things Considered during the afternoon. And so today, we're going to play three of our favorites. And we also want to ask you, who do you think we should interview for our Studio 2 Extras? Again, local artists, athletes, thinkers. It could be a politician even. Somebody you would love to hear from. You can call us at 888-477-9499. You can email studio2@whyy.org. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can leave your suggestions in the chat. And I wonder, because our listeners are so good. They came up with some great ideas for potential shows.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear their list of potential guests for our Studio 2 Extras.
Gritty.
I wouldn't mind talking to Gritty.
Tough to talk to him because he doesn't talk. But could we get like
some
a Gritty translator
language.
In there? Yeah. We could work it out.
And then, you know, with AI, you know, Gritty might, we might hear what the Gritty voice would sound like through a device. You never know.
We love technology, folks. If you're on YouTube, by the way, drop a comment right there in the chat. Who should we interview for a forthcoming Studio 2 Extra? Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest. We were going to do a show about Canada today. That was what all the promos were about. And look, this happens in live radio. Sometimes a guest has a personal emergency, and we don't want to blow up our guest spot at all, but we wanted to still put a good show together. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to table that Canada conversation for another day.
I know, because people probably like there. They're like, what's going on?
They wanted to talk about Canada, maple syrup, etc. I get it. We're just going to table it for another day because sometimes in life,
stuff happens.
Sugar, honey, iced tea happens. Okay. So.
Ooh, I wonder what that stands for.
You like that one? So before we get into our Studio 2 Extras and our main segment today, let's whirl around the region with a trio of local news stories, starting at Temple University, which we recently learned has now had 5 international students whose visas have been revoked, according to the school. In addition to that, there have been 14 grants at the university from the federal government that have been either terminated or there have been stop work orders issued on them, totaling $3 million, those 14 grants. And with all the stuff about Harvard in the news this week, we thought it would be nice to point to a local university that is also having some serious problems with the federal government. And so this latest news at Temple shows you where this conflict may be headed.
Yeah, and full disclosure, I'm a Temple alum, and I teach a class there as well.
Yes.
And this is on the minds of students. They are talking about it. Students in my class raised the issue, and they are concerned. There's a lot of uncertainty around what could be next.
Understandably, yes.
And students are also worried about financial aid. I'll point out, after the Department of Education cuts, the Washington Post reported this week that they've been getting calls regarding that are unanswered to the Department of Ed now that there's been cuts there. Also, colleges and universities are reporting glitches and disruptions in the system that allows them to calculate financial aid offers. So this is the time when a lot of young people are getting college acceptances. They're planning their futures and they don't know how much money they're going to get because the system is glitching. And these are all things related to people in colleges. And then you, on top of that, you have young people losing their visas and all that. It's just a lot going on.
If you think about modern higher ed as a table, right, and there's various legs keeping that table standing, I would argue that one of those legs for a long time has been international students and specifically the tuition they pay, which is often full freight.
Yeah, they don't have the financial aid like a lot of American
exactly.
students. Exactly.
Yeah. About 7% of Temple's enrollment comes from international students. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what that totals to, you know, money-wise, but I'll also point out that Temple is very tuition dependent. About 80% of their revenues come from tuition and fees, right? And so you start to play this out. If there's truly a long-term chilling effect on international students coming to study here in the U.S., mm-hmm. how does a university like Temple adjust and survive? Because there's going to have to be adjustment. You cannot just lose that revenue.
Yeah.
And that's the economics. That's not even talking about the moral side of this, just the economic side of this.
Yeah. And I really do believe this is teeing up to a show about, higher ed because they've been still haven't fully recovered from the pandemic.
Yeah.
So,
but let's go to K-12.
Yeah.
Then.
K-12. Schools in our region, guess what they're trying to do?
What are they trying to do?
They're trying to embrace artificial intelligence.
Mm.
New Jersey's Department of Education gave $75,000 to 10 school districts to explore how to use AI in teaching, including how to avoid plagiarism and cheating, which is kind of hard these days. School AI is a platform that is specifically for school districts, and kids can use the device or the tool in class under teacher supervision, but they must cite when they use AI. One example is a chatbot can ask a question in French for the student to respond to. You can imagine different uses for something like that. And that story came out, by the way, today in the Philadelphia Inquirer. This is a huge issue. I'll say that. I just mentioned that I teach a class.
This was interesting to you, I think, personally.
So interesting. Yeah. And a quarter of teens in the U.S. admit to using generative AI for schoolwork. Some schools, like in New York City, they had banned it last year. And then they decided to,
you can't fight it, right?
To say, hey, we need to lean in and figure out how to use this thing. But this is going to be a big problem.
Yep. You know, even as someone who's not in school, hasn't been in school in a long time, I've had those internal conversations about if I don't learn how to use this stuff, am I going to fall behind at work? You know, will I not be pulling my weight because my colleagues are using generative AI to do work a lot faster or more efficient? And here I am trying to come up with clever phrases to write into the script for The Daily Show. And AI could do that, could spit out five of them in 2 seconds. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And I've started to think about, like, not surrendering to AI, but like, what approach is there here besides trying to find a way to work with it?
Yeah.
And on a day-to-day level.
And it's about ethical use of artificial intelligence, how not to replace jobs, but to enhance your ability to do your job better. And that's the question. And it's like, how do you have, because I tell my students all the time, like, some of you guys are not smart enough to use AI in the sense that.
Wow, you say that to their faces?
In a sense, yes, because if
students
you, can't,
are tough. They're
if you
tough.
Can't recognize the errors, and AI makes a lot, then you haven't learned the material. So, yeah.
Yeah, and what types of knowledge gaps will emerge when you have a learner who has, you know, grown up with AI all the way K-12? Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be things that they know better than me, but there's probably going to be concepts they never truly mastered because they were able to use AI workarounds.
Yeah.
And then how do you backfill that? I mean, it's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Last story.
Yep.
You know, Time Magazine, Cherry, releases its annual list of the 100 most influential people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It just came out this morning, and Philly was well represented.
I'm going to pop my collar, even though I'm not on the list. I'm going to pop it.
Oh, you're not on
I'm
the
proud
list?
Of course not. No.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know.
I'm popping my collar for Philadelphia, but
okay.
Go ahead.
So, Philly people and Philly connected people on the Time 100 list this year. Nook Sutaranen, who is a Philly restaurateur who runs Kalea, who, by the way, is a former Studio 2 guest.
One of my favorites that we've had.
And she's her amazing. Blurb in the Time 100 was written by restaurateur Michael Solomonov, who is another former Studio 2 guest.
So, Studio 2 all over this thing.
also, we have Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts. Not a Studio 2 guest yet. Super Bowl champ.
But you are
and MVP.
Invited, Jalen.
You are invited, Jalen.
Yes.
Formally. We'd like to extend that. Mm-hmm. So Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl champ and MVP. His blurb was written by Derek Jeter, by the way.
That's cool.
We also have in the list actor Daniel Day-Kim from Lost and The Good Doctor and other projects.
Wow.
He is an alum of...
Nice jaw, Daniel.
He is an alum of Haverford College, my alma mater.
Look at you. Shout out Haverford.
Right outside of Philadelphia. Also on the list, U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, who is also a Haverford College alum and one-time mega donor to the school on the main line. He has since become one of the Trump administration's biggest champions, especially on tariffs and economic policy. And finally on the list, we have tech billionaire Alex Karp, whose company Palantir works very closely with the U.S. military. He's also politically notable. Time describes Karp as a, quote, unashamed techno-nationalist who evangelizes Western power. He's connected to the whole Peter Thiel Silicon Valley tree. Karp is from Philadelphia, went to Central High School, and then, yes, attended Haverford College on the main line.
Wow. Lots of people on this list. Six members of the Trump administration. We had lots of just athletes. It's pretty cool list. You might want to check it out.
Also, check out our Studio 2 Extras.
Yes.
We have a compilation of them coming up in the next segment. And tell us who you think we should interview for a future Studio 2 Extra. Email studio2@whyy.org.
Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman. We're playing some Studio 2 Extras for you today. Who should we interview for a future Studio 2 Extra? Email studio2@whyy.org. Actor, rapper, author, and Philly native Will Smith has come home in more ways than one. The city recently renamed a West Philly street Will Smith Way. And after 3 years of deep reflection, he's come home to music as well, releasing Based on a True Story, his first studio album in nearly 20 years.
Yeah, and I got a chance to speak with Will Smith a few days ago. We talked about those years of reflection following that Oscar slap, his new album, and what it's been like to get hometown love. Take a listen.
Why, thank you for having me.
Yes, and congratulations on your brand new album. I listened to it. I sat in my car for over an hour listening to it because it sounds so good. It sounds like it would be really good live.
Yeah. That is my hope. You know, I have found some a new place within me that art and ideas are flowing from. So I'm really excited for this next phase of my artistic expression. And really just the higher levels of human connection. I'm just finding myself just being able to relate to people better than I ever have.
Because you were here in Philadelphia, you came home to music. And what was it like, you know, being back in the booth, having the mic and doing the thing that really like set you up for all your fame?
Yeah, it's a combination of exploration and expression. For me, music is deeply centered on my thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I'm acting, it's the vision of a writer and a director, and I'm helping someone else realize their vision. When I make music, it's me. It's what I think, it's what I feel. It's the process of opening to more authenticity and vulnerability and honesty in a way that could feel like weakness, but the recognition of it as the superpower to be able to be wide open and honest. There's a record on the album called Bulletproof.
I've been a desperado, now y'all know what I know. When I say I'ma do it, no, it's not hollow. January to Christmas, I'll be standing on business. Number one on the hit list, get you on Joker's hit list. When I shoot, I never miss.
And the idea is that type of vulnerability and that type of openness and that type of freedom and honesty makes you bulletproof.
Yeah.
Right? It makes that they can't even touch anything. Like the shots that people would take can't even touch anything when you cultivate that vulnerable, wide open, bulletproof sense of authenticity.
You're stepping back in the public eye. But in I feel like this is a quieter, more grounded way. I mean, you've talked to local news stations. You've done community events. Thank you for being on Studio 2. I just want to talk about how does this re-entry, how does it feel different from the way you've done things in the past?
It's for a different purpose. I'm not even necessarily looking to make hit records. You know, I certainly will have hit records, but the conversations, like this moment is the highest for me, right? To be able to talk about the things I've experienced, to be able to share my testimony, and to be able to advance the ideas, to be able to discuss the situations with people. It's almost like the songs are conversation starters.
You rep Philly really hard, more than a lot of people who are from the city. What is it about Philadelphia that has sort of stuck in your bones?
You know, there's a certain grit, a rare combination that you don't see everywhere. It's like in Philly, there's a toughness, but our haircuts is fly. Right. So it's like, you know, it's like that's a real, you know, That's a rare combo, you know, to be able to hold it down with your hands. You know, it's funny. Chuck D one time, he called Philly. He said, Pug City. He said, every time I go to Philly, somebody wants to fight me. it's like, what is it? But the one thing, you know, he was saying in Philly that it was one of the places that you could, like, people still would stand up and we say, give me a fair one.
Yeah.
When we was coming, you know. And so it was like fighting with, you know, Joe Frazier was, you know, he kind of made fighting a big part of the city. So that energy, you know, came with me everywhere I go in the world.
Yeah. And you learned a lot of your discipline right here in Philadelphia. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I read your book, Will. So I know how hard you had to work. Your dad was a big part of that.
Yes.
And I want to go back a few years to 2021 because your book had come out. I remember seeing you at the Met here in Philly.
Yeah,
gave a
yeah.
great talk. I think Queen Latifah interviewed you live. You know, King Richard was out. There was all this buzz. And then that moment at the Oscars came and the whole world watched you soar and then stumble. And I want to ask you, what is the biggest lesson you learned from the highs and the lows that have occurred around that moment in the past few years?
I'd say that the biggest lesson for me is that all things are for your benefit. That the beauty of this universe and the beauty of, you know, God or whatever you believe in, the beauty of reality is that all things conspire for your benefit. And even when you don't realize it and you cannot imagine how this experience is going to be for your benefit, that the faith in your curriculum, everything that happens is just curriculum and it's meant to teach you about reality. And the more you learn, the more wisdom that you cultivate, the more willingness you are to transform and take an honest look at yourself, the more power to manifest your dreams that you gain, you know? So the big lesson and the big psycho-emotional space that I fell into, I call it brutiful. It was brutal.
Brutal, but beautiful. Is that right?
Brutal, but beautiful. You know, and, you know, I say it jokingly, but that is a real lesson that when things don't go the way that you had hoped, when you stumble, when you're injured, when you take a bad shot, is you just have to know it. All things are able to be transformed. That's one of the things. There's a record on the album called Beautiful Scars.
Yes.
And it's saying, and one of the lines is, anything that's broken is remixable. Right?
I love it. Yeah.
It's like the recognition that how this place works. If you're not dead, you have a shot. And if the you know, that old saying, that doesn't kill you, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's really, really true.
Yeah.
And that was the central lesson, to recognize anything that happens, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be wiser. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be more creative. I'm going to manifest higher because of the suffering.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about Philly, rapid fire questions as we get ready
rapid
to
fire,
wrap up.
Okay.
What's one corner, one block, or one spot in West Philly that still feels like you?
That still feels like me. Wow. I hope that's going to be Will Smith Way now. it's hard to beat that. Yeah, it's like, because that bridge on 59th Street, that Will Smith Way, goes from Overbrook High School, and if you cross the bridge from Overbrook, to the right is where my father's shop was, so that's where I learned how to work. If you go to the left is where I grew up at 59th and Woodcrest, and if you go from the Overbrook side and you go down Lansdowne, that's where my grandmother lived, and that's where Resurrection Baptist Church is on 54th Street, right? So, right, that Will Smith Way is like the vein of all of the aspects of the foundation of how I became me. So, to me, Will Smith Way for sure.
That
was supposed to be rapid fire. Sorry, that was a long answer.
No, I love it. And what's something Philly taught you that Hollywood would have never taught you?
That whatever happens, you don't give up. It's like quitting is not an option.
Yeah. And if you could bring one thing back to Philly from the 90s, what would it be?
Ooh, one thing back to Philly from the 90s. House parties.
We do miss
house parties. Listen, there's no, like, it's like, because I know, like, kids today don't do house parties. Like, house parties were that you would have a DJ come and have a house party in the basement, and you take the lights out and put the red lights in, and probably slow dancing. These kids don't slow dance either.
Slow dragon is good. That's some good
slow
stuff.
Slow dragon,
right?
They don't do no slow dragon.
That's good. And so what is your favorite food to eat when you come to Philly?
Overbrook Pizza. I get my chicken steak from Overbrook Pizza. And I, you know, depending on how long I'm in town, I eat that for every meal.
I love it. And my last question to you, Will Smith, is this. Is there, you know, is there a first song that you made that made you feel like a Philly artist? And not just a rapper from Philly, but it made you feel like you were part of the soundscape of the city?
Summertime. It was absolutely summertime. That was like 100% all the way Philly. It was like we loved it at our age, and it was one of those records that our parents loved too.
Fix it and think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, 'cause it's summertime.
So it was, it bridged so many levels. And it was like a signature Philly song. And it was like, I felt like we were stapled into Philadelphia history when Summertime dropped.
It absolutely did, and I still listen to it, and we'll be listening to it at the cookout this summer. It's still in the rotation.
Hey, there you go.
So thank you so much, Will Smith, for being on Studio 2 and taking this time to speak with us.
I appreciate you.
And that was rapper, actor, author, and Philly native Will Smith. And he pronounced my name right, so I was popping my collar on that one.
That is nice. That is nice. That, first of all, great interview.
Thank you.
He's right about the house parties.
Yes.
That's a keen observation. Mm-hmm. And I also agree, Summertime, I think it is their best song.
Yeah.
Him and DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah. I just think it's definitely one of those classic favorites. You can play it at any time. And by the way, you couldn't see us on YouTube, but we were both jamming when Summertime played. And so, you know, Will Smith is definitely a Philly icon. But there's so many people in our region who are from our region, who have projects here or connections here. So we'd love to hear who you think we should interview next. Our Studio 2 Extras highlight people from all around the region who are taking on big challenges, sometimes small challenges. They're making impact. So call us 888-477-9499. You can email studio2@whyy.org. And we got a couple emails.
Some good suggestions.
I'm like, should I share them?
Yeah, let's share some.
Yeah. So Kenneth emails, who says, I would look into John Flynn. Yeah, a successful singer-songwriter who has been working very hard at a prison in Delaware to help prisoners turn their lives around. Also with an outreach program once they are released to help them get education, housing, jobs, and support. John is a tireless worker and writes songs and performs to help this program.
John Flynn.
I know. Audio rich because, some songs, music.
Right.
I love
Elizabeth says, I would like to hear an interview with Isaiah Zagar, the father of outdoor art in Philadelphia. He's the one that does those amazing mosaic murals.
Oh.
The Magic Gardens, if you've ever been there. And obviously he's a central player, as Elizabeth says, in the fascinating history of the beginning of and renaissance of South Street. And I would add to that, his son, Jeremiah Zagar, is a burgeoning filmmaker, very talented as well. So I think talking to both of them would be great.
I think you just hit a nerve, Kenneth and Elizabeth.
That's right. And Craig on YouTube says, Jalen Hurts or A.J. Brown, both of the Philadelphia Eagles. And we do extend the invitation.
Formally.
To both of those fine gentlemen.
Okay.
So next up, Cherry.
Yes.
We have a musician who is not quite as big as Will Smith, but if you stay in Philly long enough, you are guaranteed to see Philly Elmo leading a drumline. That's thanks to Tony Royster, who founded Positive Movement Entertainment, a nonprofit that encourages kids to, quote, put down the guns and pick up the drums.
I love it.
He's often the person inside that Elmo costume, and he started drumming when he was just 4 years old. Let's rewind a little bit before Positive Movement. Tell me about where you grew up and how you came to drumming.
So I grew up in Pulaski Town Projects in Germantown. They had a drill team that used to practice in the back of the building. So as I was growing up, 2 to 4, I would just hear, the drums every other day. When I turned 4, my mom allowed me to join a drill team.
You were 4 years old. Wow.
Yes, I started when I was 4. It's better to start when you're young so you don't end up getting caught up into the streets, especially living in the projects. You know, it was a whole bunch of things going on and easy to just get, trapped in, negative things or negative places. Drumming was my outlet. And then as the years went by, I joined maybe 10 different drill teams.
Wow.
Until 2011, when I decided to start Positive and Control. And our slogan was take control and be a positive you. And then 2014, then we incorporated and became Positive Movement.
How did you get this thing off the ground? Like, what resources did you have? Where does one even start going about trying to establish an organization like this?
I really didn't have like a lot of support in the beginning. You know, years ago, you probably seen like a lot of drill teams on the corners with the kids in the buckets. That was like our go-to to be able to raise money.
So like motorists, pedestrians, they drop you a buck, that type of thing?
Yep, yep.
That's like real grassroots fundraising.
Oh, yes, it is. And every penny count.
Do people think you're nuts trying to build this thing? Just
The world can sometimes be harsh. Yeah, so, yeah, everybody had their own opinion, but... You know, look.
Yeah, and you must love it.
Oh, yes. Like I said, I'm born and raised in the projects, and drumming really saved my life. I would be lost, just one of those stragglers. And those, you know, years and dark times living in the projects, I was able to relieve my stress through music by banging on those drums, you know, those hard nights. You know, that was just my go-to. I felt in my heart that me starting my own team would give like another child the opportunity to, you know, have another outlet. And Positive Movement is an organization that shows you that it's okay to be different. You know, just because, you know, a lot of your close friends are doing things that they know they shouldn't be doing, don't mean that you have to follow. You can, you know, take the other route and continue to be positive. The first 5 years, I was able to get two people off the streets, like really put their guns down and pick up a drum. And when that happened, that just showed me that this is definitely meaningful and can really help the world.
How did Elmo come into this whole equation? Okay, so like I understand I've certainly seen some drill teams out there, but part of what distinguished you guys is that there is someone in an Elmo costume dancing to the beat out front. Now, that's usually you, right?
Sometimes
yes. It's you.
Yep, yep. So Positive Movement Entertainment, when I was coming up with the name, I said, like, what would make us different from all the other drill teams? So we was doing like block parties, birthday parties, like just doing all events. Elmo is a fan favorite. Everybody loves Elmo.
I know, trust me, I know.
And then for me, just like living in the projects, I didn't have cable. So like Channel 12, you know, WHYY, PBS, yes. definitely like held it down for me. So Elmo was like my favorite as well.
So the idea was that you would be going to entertain kids at birthday parties and block parties, so it made sense to have a kid's character to get the kids excited.
Yep. We also had Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, the Minions, we had Spider-Man, but like out of all the different characters, Elmo is just like the top.
So. Everyone loves Elmo.
Yes.
That's just a fact of life.
We go everywhere, we had different characters out there, everybody's like, where's Elmo? It's like, oh, man. Okay, well, he'll be out tomorrow.
Yeah, you start getting flack if you don't bring Elmo.
Yes. Oh, man.
This is audience feedback. This is part of it. One of the things that sort of catapulted you guys to, you know, further fame was this viral video of you all with Elmo near this big junkyard fire in Kensington.
Yes.
First of all, why were you guys there?
We're all over. So we were in the Northeast that day. Just got finished marching around and promoting. And then we was driving down the boulevard, and then we just see like this big cloud of smoke. And then as we start getting closer, then it starts getting darker. We got maybe about 3 blocks away. And then I was like, you want to march over there? I don't want to, you know, be on the news.
And whoops.
Yep, I said, oh, man.
But why would you want to march over there?
Our thing is anywhere that there's like a lot of people, that's where we should be. Yeah. So we can be able to get that message out. After seeing the video, I was like, wow. Like, that was a great moment. Yeah. Like, to actually see that.
When you come across the line, you're just like, it seems so coordinated, but then you're also like, how do they keep this up for like hours? How does it work? How do you decide where to go and what to play?
Yeah, we practice 2 days a week for 2 to 3 hours. when we marching around, that is also practice. Like I say, like, you know, anytime that you can practice, practice. And those be like a lot of times that we do that practice in. Philadelphia is a big place.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah.
And out of all these years, I still don't think that we like hit every community. So we try to just like do some analysis and, you know, go over the places that we have been and try to go to places that they haven't seen us or know who Positive Movement or Philly Elmo is. The goal is to recruit.
Yeah.
We're trying to get 50 members at the minimum. And our biggest goal is to get 500 members.
How many members do you have now?
Right now, our numbers fluctuate from 6 to 26. When everybody's available, we'll have 26. We take ages 8 to 80. Our oldest member is 74. These are living witness that you're never too old to do something positive and get back to the community. And then our youngest member is 5. If your child is under 8, then you as the parent or guardian is committing to come to practice, learn the moves, if it's drumming, dancing, color guard, like the flags, or just holding a banner, whatever it is, you come to practice, you know, learn what it is and go home and work with your child. So we really take like all ages. It takes a lot to run, you know, an organization, especially a drumline. Donations are definitely appreciated. It's not like a must that you have to. The money is needed, but it's not the main focus.
And how do you decide what to play? What rhythms? Is someone leading that? I always wondered how that works.
Yeah. So I do all the training, all the teaching, the music. We have 5 to 8 signature beats that we play.
Got it.
So like, let's say you join a drill team today. Yeah. You would learn the intro. Then we have number one this time. Then we have body. Body, you would do the 8-count boom. And the tenors will keep the melody. Let's just do the 8-count boom real quick. So 8-count boom, you would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Boom, 2, 3, 4. Keep that going. Here go the melody. And 1, 2, 3, and stop.
Oh, yeah. I'm in.
Yes, you are. For me, a lot of the members say I'm like robotic.
You just go, go, go.
Like, Tone, we need some water.
And how heavy is it?
It's really heavy. But like once you have it on for a while, you kind of get used to it. I think after like the first hour and the first hour and 50 blocks, then you it's like, oh, man. But for me, it's like the energy that we receive from the community. So when like people come out their house and they just smiling and happy, they see Elmo, the music is good, they start moving, like you might be extremely tired, you know, but once you feel that energy from the next person, it just like that tiredness just go away, you know, and it just keep you going. And for me is the smiles, is just the communication, the love. I love it.
I also wanted to ask before I let you go, Mr. Why Not, where did that come from? What is that?
So Mr. Why Not is Tony backwards. I spent $180 on 12 shirts, and the shirts, like I wanted the writing to be really big so you can see it from a distance, and they happen to be really small. So I went to Walmart and grabbed some iron-on letters, ironed it on a shirt. And then after I got finished, I was like, oh, man, I did it backwards. And then when I looked, I was like, it was supposed to say Mr. Tony. And then when I looked at it, it said, Mr. Why Not? And I said, you know what?
That's not bad.
That works. It said, why not be positive?
I feel like that's a good, it's a good encapsulation of your attitude toward life. See something that might be negative, make it positive.
That's right.
Well, that's Tony Royster, who is the founder of the Positive Movement Drumline. Thank you so much.
Yes.
For your time, for coming into the studio, and for entertaining literally all of Philadelphia.
Yes, and surrounding areas.
And surrounding areas. We didn't forget you, suburbs. All right, there it is.
Are you joining the drum line? You got something to tell me? You moonlighting over here?
No. That would be bad on so many levels. Don't have the stamina. Don't have the rhythm.
2 to 3 hours of practice.
It's intense.
Twice a week. That's a lot. Yeah.
So there it is. The story behind Philly Elmo. Who do you think we should interview for a Studio 2 Extra?
Yeah.
Email us, studio2@whyy.org, or drop a comment right there in the YouTube chat.
Yeah, and by the way, you can find all of our Studio 2 extras in the Studio 2 podcast feed.
Mm.
We have a pretty good list of extras growing.
Yeah.
I mean, we interviewed Julia Fisher-Faberman about Audrey's children. That's the story of Dr. Audrey Evans, the first woman chief of oncology at CHOP. She revolutionized cancer treatment for young people. She's also the co-founder of the first Ronald McDonald House. You interviewed Delaware Senator Chris Coons.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great interview. You actually did that live on YouTube.
I did indeed, yeah.
Yeah, you can check that out. We also interviewed Pennsylvania Congresswoman Chrissy Houlihan. And we spoke with author Imani Perry about her new book, Black and Blues, and so many others.
So many others. So again, Studio 2 podcast feed. That's where you go to get all the Studio 2 extras and every normal episode of Studio 2. And by the way,
yes,
Jerry, while we're talking about Studio 2 initiatives.
Yes, Studio 2 is heading back on the road for our next live event. On Thursday, April 24th at 6 p.m., we'll be at the Middletown Free Library in Delaware County for an event we're calling Developing the Philly Suburbs, NIMBYs, YIMBYs, and You.
Yes, and you will be with a panel of local experts hashing out how the need for more housing often meets resistance because of a desire for open space, skepticism of developers, and backlash against sprawl.
Yeah, this event is free and open to the public, but you need to register at whyy.org/events, and we hope we will see you there. By the way, shout out to Harold on YouTube. Avi, he says he's ready to join the PME drumline.
All right, Harold, if you think you've got what it takes, we can link you up with Tony. And Deb says, I've been following Philly Elmo Instagram. I'm their biggest fan. These people are doing so much positive work for the community. Surely there's a Philadelphia Arts Hall of Fame award for him.
Yeah, you speak it and it might just happen.
Speak it into existence, Deb. All right, coming up, we're going to give you one more Studio 2 Extra interview, and we'll keep reading your suggestions. Dandelion Green says, Krista Barfield of Farmer John.
I've heard of Farmer John.
Okay, okay.
Oh.
Good idea, Dandelion Green, appropriately named for that suggestion. We'll be right back on Studio 2. This is WHYY. And welcome back, friends, to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. There are few cities in the world that have produced as much basketball talent as Philadelphia. So when someone breaks a hoops record here, people take notice. Shayla Smith just broke one of the big ones. Recently, the quiet but confident senior set the all-time record for most career points in Philadelphia high school history.
The most. And she did that while leading Universal Auden Reed Charter High School to its third consecutive public league championship, which is quite an accomplishment for the South Philly school. They hadn't won a title in any sport before Smith arrived. Now Shayla Smith's school is on top and she is in elite company. So Dawn Staley, Rasheed Wallace,
mm-hmm.
Shaunetta Stewart,
yeah.
Wilt Chamberlain. I'm naming Philly basketball legends here. None of them scored as many points in high school as you. How do you process that?
I don't think I processed it yet, honestly. I'm just focused on, like, winning the city championship and the state championship. And then, like, after that, my team will probably start celebrating and all that. And then it's really going to hit me, like, dang, I'm really a legend. I'm a Philly legend.
Let's take it back. Why did you first pick up a basketball? What brought you to this sport?
When I was younger, I always played sports, like, outside with my brother. Because, like, I just grew up following my brother around. So I was, like, playing football, basketball, whatever, running, racing up and down the street, just a bunch of stuff. But I didn't really start taking it serious until eighth grade.
Your brother's older than you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was, like, your role model.
Basically.
You just wanted to be like him?
Yeah.
And did he play basketball?
I wanted to be better than him.
Wait, man, let's get that right. You wanted to be better than him. At what point did you realize you were good? Because it's one thing to want to do it, and then there's other thing to realize, like, whoa, like, I have something here.
I realized I was good when I started playing against girls, because like I grew up playing against boys all the time at the park and the playground, and like I was like good, but like it wasn't like when I started playing against girls, I'm like, yo, this is like really easy. I don't think there's any girls like that can like
that can stop you.
Yeah, right.
What is it about your game that makes you so hard to stop?
I think it's like my, like, first of all, my body, like I'm like solid, so it's like yeah, I'm solid, so it's like you're not, nobody's gonna like just bully me.
When you get to your spot, no one's moving you,
like,
off that spot.
Nobody can take me, like nobody can stop me from getting to my spot, and like I know my spots and I know where I can make shots from, so I just do what I gotta do to get to my spot.
There's a lot of confidence, I could tell. Were you always a confident player, or did that have to come?
I was always confident to an extent, but like it had to develop to like be able to take the difficult shots that I do take.
Was there someone who got in your ear who gave you that confidence?
My coaches at Auden Reed.
Why did you end up going to Auden Reed?
I built the relationship with the coaches my eighth grade summer.
Why did you stay at Auden Reed instead of going? Did you ever have offers to go to a private school outside the city, all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you go?
I don't know. I just trusted the process, I guess.
Did people think that was a weird decision for you to make, for you to stay there? Like, did you ever hear from people, like, why are you doing this? Why don't you want to, you know, go to another school, different competition, all that kind of stuff?
People definitely said that, but like they don't see it now, because like now we win a championship, so now it's like people want to come to Auden Reed.
Totally.
It's not why did she go to Auden Reed? Now it's, I want to go to Auden Reed.
How does it feel to be the person who did that, who like helped make that change from why does she want to be here to of course she would want to be here, they're great?
I don't know.
That's a legacy.
Yeah, I just like to play basketball. I don't really know. It wasn't really too much thought into it. I just like playing basketball, and this felt like home, basically. Auden Reed felt like home.
You're a practicing observant Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
You wear the hijab while you play, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you and your family to be representing, in such an obvious way, Muslim women in sports?
Is that, like, it doesn't matter, like, who you are, your, like, race, color, none of that matters. Like, your sport or, like, basketball should be somewhere where everybody's, like a family, kind of. So, like, you should look past all of that.
Do you feel that there are girls that look to you for that, that you're inspiring someone with that?
Yeah. Yeah, like some people, like their parents don't, like in the religion, some people, their parents think that it's not like, you can't play basketball if you're Muslim, or you can't, I don't know. I definitely like have people text me sometimes and be like, you got any advice? So yeah, it feels good to be a role model.
Like advice for my daughter or advice for me?
Yeah.
Do you have a ultimate goal at the next level?
I want to go to the WNBA. I want to be the first woman in the WNBA that like wears the hijab.
All right, I'm going to do some rapid-fire questions for you as we close out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite player?
Kobe Bryant.
What is your go-to move on the court?
The cross jab.
Cross jab.
Yeah.
Give me an idea what that is.
It's like I throw the ball from my left hand to my right, and I step to the left, and then I go right.
That sounds nasty. biggest mistake people make trying to guard you?
Forcing me left. I'm still going to go right. And then your body's going to be turned the wrong way, so you can't do nothing.
What's the biggest weakness in your game?
Isn't one.
When you're not playing basketball, you're doing what?
Sleep.
It's just sleep and basketball.
Yeah. Or eating, trying new food and stuff.
Oh, you like to try new food?
Yeah.
All right. Give me a good new food I got to try.
Like places, not new. Oh, like, okay. Yeah.
Give me a restaurant I got to try.
Prime Fusion.
Do you talk trash on the court?
No.
Do people talk trash to you?
No.
No one says a word?
Nope.
What musical artist has to be on your pregame playlist?
Rod Weave.
What song?
Already Won.
Best basketball sneaker?
Kobe Sixes.
One person you want to have dinner with and pick their brain. Could be about basketball or anything else.
Kyrie Irving.
Favorite TV show?
Power.
Favorite food?
Pasta.
All right. That's Shayla Smith. So it's the favorite player is Kobe, and the best shoe is the Kobe 6.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll have to try them on at some point.
You play ball?
Do I play ball? Not like you. Not like you.
What a great interview.
Thank you. By the way, so I'm not good at basketball, nor can I be in the drum line. Let's just establish that. I'm better behind the mic, folks. Yeah. But that was Shayla Smith, and just a pleasure to meet her and hopefully watch her growth over the next many years. She is a tremendous talent.
Yeah, and people love her. I mean, Avi's Instagram short of his interview with her basically went viral.
It did, yeah.
Because people love her so much, and you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
You know, parsing that out. That was great.
And you've got a great extra coming up this week that I've been hearing lots of buzz about.
I know. Coming up next, Tariq Black Thought Trotter of The Roots.
Yes, that's a future Studio 2 extra.
Yes, and we also have another one that you're working on.
Yeah, called about this guy named Jamie, who is known as the Philly sports guy.
Yes.
He wears this crazy face paint and has been spotted at
lots saw him
and lots
walking out the studio. I was like, okay, cool haircut too.
Yeah, he's got a mohawk too. So we want to read some of your suggestions here. YouTuber Fish 1999 says Cory Booker. Yes, we would love to have Cory Booker on the show. We've had Andy Kim, by the way.
Yeah.
Al says Jeffrey Lurie, Eagles owner. What else we got there?
Yeah, we have Ed Rendell on here. Producer Paige wants Taylor Swift. I do too. Producer Andreas wants Tina Fey.
I do too.
They are formally invited.
My comedy hero, Tina Fey. Studio 2 is produced by Debbie Builder, Paige Marie Bessler, and Andreas Copes. Mike Schiffler is our visual producer. Al Banks and Tina Calicay engineered today's show. Our executive producer is Kevin McCoy from Studio 2 at WHYY in Philly. I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Thank you so much for joining us today.